He's basically saying, I'm not talking about gender, I'm not talking about race, I'm not talking about status, I'm talking about identity, and your identity is a son of God, a fully inheriting heir of God. Everything that God has in Christ is yours. Everything that is in heaven in Christ is yours. If there is healing in heaven, healing is for you. If there is blessing in heaven, blessing is for you.
Welcome from sunny South Africa. The following message is from Hillsong Church, South Africa. We pray that this message will truly bless and encourage you.
Thank you, Phil and Lucinda, for inviting me back. I have been here probably for the last 10 years, every year for the last 10 years. And it's always a huge blessing and a huge honor to speak to you. Most of you, I suspect, have no idea who I am, so let me just give you a bit of a background. My name is Robert. I work in Hillsong Church in Australia, based in Australia. My role is to teach and to preach, and I have the opportunity of not only speaking in Sydney, but I get the opportunity of going to the various campuses and global campuses around the world. So hence, I'm able to come here once a year and invest in the team and talk to you wonderful people. So that's what I do. Now, I'm a teacher. For those of you who don't like teachers, this could be an opportunity for you to leave, but I am going to teach you this morning. And I'm going to do something a little different. Instead of, I have the privilege of speaking to in every service in the morning, and there are two services tonight, and I'm doing five different messages. Normally, I would just repeat the message, and these three morning services are actually connected. I was brought up in England in a traditional church. I wasn't a Christian. And at the end of each of the services, the minister would stand up and say, "Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." It was called the grace, and he was quoting from 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. I didn't know that. As far as I was concerned, that grace just marked the end of the service. And I thought to myself, thank God that's over. But since I've become a Christian and a teacher, what I realize is that that simple verse contains some glorious truths. It talks about our relationship with the one God who reveals himself in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we need to engage with each of those three persons. Many of us have no fathers or have had absent fathers, or we don't understand fatherhood, so we need to understand what it's like to have a good father. Many of us need to work out what it's like to engage with this man, Jesus, who lived 2,000 years ago. And of course, how can we engage or work with a partner, a companion, the Holy Spirit, who we cannot see? So I thought I would do a series of three messages, one on Jesus, one on the Father, and one on the Holy Spirit and our relationship with those three. So in the last service, I talked about Jesus. I talked about how Jesus is a different kind of man. It was a message called, "What Kind of a Man Is This?" And I recommend that you get hold of the podcast if you possibly can. And I talked about how Jesus includes the marginalized and the broken, people like Gary, whose story we've just heard. Today, I want to talk about the title of today's message in this service is Adopted to Sonship. Adopted to Sonship. I want to talk about what it's like having God as a father. And then in the next service, I'm going to talk about how we can have a relationship with the unseen partner of the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? So I'm recommending that you get hold of the podcast, because although this message stands on its own, they are interconnected. Usually we first hear about Jesus, then we hear about the Father, then we hear about the Holy Spirit. Hence, I'm going in that order. And that's the order of the scripture. All right, so let's pray, and then we're going to get right into this. Are you happy about that? Are you ready in Mitchell's plane? Stellenbosch? Mauritius. Who would have thought? Anyway, are you ready? Let me pray. Father God, thank you very much for these wonderful people. Thank you that everyone has a story a journey, a destiny. And I pray that something that I say this morning, an idea, a sentence, a principle, a concept, will help every single person, every person in whatever campus, in whatever nation, every person who is listening to this message, I pray will help us move forward, become more like Jesus, have a better understanding of who our Father in heaven is. We ask it in the precious and the most wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. At 6 o'clock in the morning on the 17th of February, 1979, I was panicking. 2 hours before that time, my wife had given birth to our first daughter. I was overwhelmed. 2 hours later, the doctors and the nurses and the midwives had left. After a difficult birth, my wife was still unconscious or half unconscious, and I was handed the baby. I know it's meant to be an extraordinarily joyful occasion, but I just panicked. I thought, I have no idea what to do. I have no idea how to be a father. And the weight of responsibility fell heavily on my shoulder. A couple of years later, on the 8th of November, 1980, my son was born. And the same feeling of responsibility, the weight, came on my shoulder. This was my son, the one who would bear my name. Most of us never talk about the father. We talk about the mother who's just given birth, and so we should. All the pictures on Instagram are of the baby. But in the background, you'll see a father pacing up and down, thinking to himself, how on earth am I going to pay for this? How am I going to do this? No one talks about that. So I thought that I would talk about that, because God is described as a father. And specifically, I want to talk about a father that nobody ever talks about, and that is Joseph, the father of Jesus. Not a natural father, but a father that was required to adopt Jesus. We sing carols about Mary. We sing carols about the shepherds. We sing carols about the wise men, even the sheep. I've never heard a carol about Joseph. He just sits in the background. But think about it for a minute. God asked Joseph to marry a woman who was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, like as if that happens. And then, this is the kicker, he asked him to raise his own son. He basically said to Joseph, it's really important that you raise my son, because if you do not adopt him into your family, the prophets cannot be fulfilled, because it's only through adoption into your family that he can become the son of David and the King of Kings. That is his destiny. And here's a little thing on the side. Incidentally, Joseph, my son, who despite the fact that he's the creator of the universe, is going to leave some of his attributes behind, and he's going to be born a baby, and he won't know who he is. So it's your job, Joseph, to tell him who he is. Could you please raise my son? No wonder Joseph's pacing around at the back of the nativity thing, thinking, how on earth am I going to pay for this? Thank God for the wise men who turned up with gold. Listen to what God said to Joseph, Matthew 1:20. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means
God with us. Joseph was required to adopt God into his family and raise him as the son of God. Whoa, that is a responsibility. Now, I want to talk about God adopting you to be sons. Because his story, Joseph's story, gives us a picture of not only how God expects sons to be raised, but how we can raise our sons, and how Jesus discovered he was a son. So I'm going to just unpack that whole idea. Now, some of you, 50% of you, are thinking, well, I'm not a son, I'm a daughter. Well, I've got news for you. You're a son. According to the scriptures, every one of you is a son. Why? Because in those days, it wasn't the daughters who inherited. So we're called sons because God wanted to make sure that we understood that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, and we receive an inheritance that is ours in Christ. Are you with me? And if you get all uppity with me and say, well, I don't like being called a son, I'm a girl, I'm a daughter, remember, all of us are also a bride. So, if I have to be a bride, you can be a son. All right, this is what the Bible says. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, neither male nor female, for you are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He's basically saying, I'm not talking about gender, I'm not talking about race, I'm not talking about status, I'm talking about identity, and your identity is a son of God, a fully inheriting heir of God. Everything that God has in Christ is yours. Everything that is in heaven in Christ is yours. If there is healing in heaven, healing is for you. If there is blessing in heaven, blessing is for you. If there is fruitfulness in heaven, fruitfulness is for you. That's why we say, our Father, hallowed be your name. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we don't get it. We have no clue. We're little babies. The next verse is really key, and I want you to see it. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. What I am saying is this. As long as the heir is under age, that word translates toddler in the Greek nepios, a toddler. While the heir is a toddler, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage or toddlers, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But it then goes on to say, verse 4, but when the time had come, God sent his son to adopt, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. My father died when I was 8. I didn't discover where he was buried until I was 30. I wasn't allowed to go to the funeral, and I was destroyed by rejection. I thought I'd been abandoned. I was angry with my father for dying. It was hardly his fault, but I was angry with him. So when I became a Christian at the age of 20, I couldn't pray Father. I couldn't pray anything except Lord or King or Master. For me, the discovery of fatherhood, that God is my good and good Father, has been the most glorious and life-changing revelation. I discovered that I am a fully inheriting son. Why is this passage so important? Because when my father died, he put our family property in trusteeship. And we were looked after by trustees and guardians, just as it said. And I used to play with a little friend called Martin in the sandpit. I didn't know that Martin was the son of the builder that we employed. I just assumed that he was the same as me. I didn't realize that I owned the sandpit. And when I grew up, I would build things with this sandpit. But I was behaving like a nepios, a toddler. Even though I owned the whole estate, I was playing in the sandpit instead of building with my inheritance. And many of you in your different campuses and situations, God has called you a son. The word son is huios. It's a fully inheriting son. God has called you a son, but you're behaving like an epios. You're behaving like a toddler. You're still playing in the sandpit instead of building with your inheritance. God is saying, I want you to grow up and become a son. And it's the father's job to say to his son, I want you to do this. Is that making sense? So God said four things to his son. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, he says four things to his son. He says this, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice, this is at the transfiguration, from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Okay, four statements. Now, you may say, well, I don't think that has anything to do with me because that's the father talking to his son. But it's actually what the father is saying to his sons. In fact, that's you. He's saying to you, you are my son. I love you. I am pleased with you. Listen. Saying to others, listen to him. Are you with me? And you say, well, I'm sure that's, you know, I don't get that. Well, I'm going to just connect, if you will, those four statements with Joseph's four dreams. I don't know if you're aware, but when Joseph was given the responsibility to raise his sons, he was given four dreams. And each of those dreams relates to one of the sentences that God used of his own son. The first dream was a dream saying, you're going to have a son, he's going to be called Jesus. The second dream, he said, I want you to take him to Egypt. The third dream, he said, I want you to take him back to Israel. And the fourth dream, I want you to go and live in Galilee. Each of those four dreams relates to the four statements that God said of his own son. And I want to unpack them for you so that you can realize what God is saying to you. And then I'm going to ask the question, how did Jesus get it? Is that okay? All right. Four words that I want you to get. Identity. Identity. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and a dream. And he told him who Jesus was. He said he's going to be God. He's going to be the Savior of the world. So the first responsibility of Joseph, the first responsibility of a father, the first responsibility of God himself is to establish your identity. You are my son. You're not a girl. Are you with me? You are not a toddler. You have been adopted as a son into the family of God, and as a result, you are an inheritor of all that God has for you. So what God is saying is, you are my son. That's the first dream. Second dream, security. Security. Matthew 2:13, when he had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and in a dream and said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Why did he go to Egypt? To protect him from Herod and to live for 2 years in a safe environment. Gary talked in the great story about coming home and where he found a safe environment. Joseph took his wife, Mary, his kid, Jesus, some frankincense, a bit of myrrh, and a whole lot of gold, and set off to a secure place. Why? Because he loved him. Are you getting the idea? So God is saying, the first responsibility of fatherhood is to say, you are my son. The second responsibility of fatherhood is to say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I don't know if you can get this, but as someone who was brought up without a father, this is like the most glorious revelation. A voice came from heaven to me and said, Robert, you're my son. What? Me? Yes, you're my son, and I love you. Really? Some of you still don't get it. My wife didn't get it. She was sexually abused when she was a little child. She didn't believe that she could be loved. When she sat on a train and people groped her, she just assumed that's what happened to broken people like her. She felt that was her destiny. That was her right. And even when we got married, she didn't believe it. And I used to say, shout at her, sometimes when she was in another room, and I'd say, Amanda, I love you. And I'd say it over and over again. And then one day, after being married many years, she said, I was just sitting in the bathroom and in the bath, and I shouted through the door, I love you. And she said, for the first time, she got it. She realized, I'm loved. And that became her identity. When it says John described himself as the one that Jesus loved, that became her verse. It's not a boast. It's not an arrogant statement. John just established the fact. I'm the one that Jesus loves. Jesus loves me. I'm a son, and Jesus loves me. The Father loves me. So this is what God is trying to say to you is that you have an identity and you have security. Are you ready? Third dream, ministry. Ministry, Matthew 2:19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. Israel was where he was going to fulfill his ministry. This was going to where he was going to heal the sick, cast out demons. He was called to the lost sheep of Israel. And his role in life was to do what God called him to do in that nation. So God said, you're my son. I love you. I'm pleased with you. The third responsibility of fatherhood is to say, I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. I used to sit my son on my lap when he was just a toddler, and my daughter, my three sons, my two daughters and okay. And I'd say, you're my son. You're my son. And I love you. And I believe in you. I believe in you. He was an artist. I can't draw to save my life, but for some reason or another, my son got a drawing gene. So rather than saying, I want you to do what I want you to do, I said, I believe in you. This is your ministry. This is what you can do. I sent him to drawing classes. That's the responsibility of fatherhood, to say, you are my son. I love you. I believe in you. Do you get that? That God the Father has seen potential in you, has given you gift, has given you ability. He believes in you. He believes in you. I love the fact that my son, he didn't like chemistry much. So he would sit at the back of the chemistry class and he would draw cartoons. And he would draw funny cartoons and just pass them along the line to all the other people who didn't like chemistry. And all of them, because he's a very funny man, he was a good drawer and very funny, they all laughed. And the teacher came and found him one day. And instead of being a legalistic, grumpy old teacher, he said this, Andrew, you're a drawer. You're an artist. That's brilliant. He said, I'm going to ask you to do something. Could you come to the front of the class, sit on the front seat, and I'm going to give you a responsibility. You're going to be my artist. Anytime I want something drawn on the whiteboard, you're going to draw it. But one condition, you've got to make every single person in the class laugh. That's great teaching. He was saying, I believe in you. I believe in you. He not only was accepted by his peers and learned to draw, he learned a bit of chemistry on the side. Now he works on Wall Street as a group creative director in the top advertising company in the States. His client this year is Google. Why? Because somebody believed in him. Are you getting the idea? You've got to realize that you've got something. And then, so everybody say, identity, security, ministry, destiny. The fourth dream, Matthew 2, 22. Then he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of the father Herod. He was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. Why Galilee? Of all the places in Israel, one place you don't want to go is Galilee. It's up in the north. They say, can anything good come from Nazareth? It's a horrible place. What is it called? It's called Galilee of the Gentiles. This represented not his ministry to Israel, but his destiny. This represented that he was going to include the marginalized, that he was going to find the disenfranchised, that he was going to reach outside of Israel to people like you in South Africa and Mauritius and Kenya and Somerset West and Mitchell's Plain and Pretoria and Johannesburg and the southern suburbs and here in Century City. That statement, the Galilee of the Gentiles, is a significant statement. So here was Joseph saying, you are my son, Jesus. I love you. I believe in you. And then the fourth statement, I'm proud of you. Now go. When
my wife and I had our 40th wedding anniversary, our children, including my lovely Eleanor, who's listening today from the southern suburbs. When we celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary, our children wrote us 40 letters, 40 thank you letters from the children, their partners, and our grandchildren to say thank you. 40 thank you letters. And basically, my son wrote, he said, I've always taken your love for granted because that's what you wanted me to do. I love you. And then he said this, when I said, I'm thinking of going to New York, you said, you'd be crazy if you didn't go. One of the most difficult things for a father to do, having raised a son, is to say, I'm proud of you, now go. I said to Eleanor, my daughter, my son in the faith, I said to her, when she wanted to come to South Africa, you better go. It's a tough thing to do. Joseph is at the back of the nativity scene because having raised Christ and said, I love you, you're my son, I believe in you, I'm proud of you, now go. He disappeared into anonymity because he had done his job. He'd raised the Son of God. And that Son of God now knew who he was. But listen, I've got 2 minutes and I'm going to tell you what Jesus did to get it. Who is struggling to really believe that you are a son of God? Put your hand in the air if that's you. A number of you. All right. This is how you get it. This is how Jesus got it. Remember, he didn't know who he was. Number one, write it down. He believed what his father told him. You've just got to believe it. His father said, you're my son. We read about it in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16 at the baptism. His father, a voice, verse 17, said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. He believed it. Can I just encourage you this morning? When the Bible says that God says, you're my son in Galatians, just believe it. Don't fight it. Believe it. Number two, he responded to what his parents told him. In other words, he didn't just listen to his father in heaven. He listened to Mary and Joseph. They would tell him about Simeon the prophet and Anna the prophetess and all the other prophets who had spoken about his life. I am that parent to you this morning. I'm telling you, you're sons of God. You're not
daughters of God, sons, inheritors. You're not nepios, you're huios. You're not toddlers, you're fully inheriting sons. Believe it, act on it, respond to it, behave like it. Third thing that Jesus did, he studied what the Word told him. He studied what the Word told him. We know this because Luke 24, he's on the Emmaus Road, and he's talking to the two people on the Emmaus Road, and he says, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe. All the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." He knew every single verse in the Bible that told him who he was. Have you got them written down? Do you know them? Can you quote them? What an amazing Bible study that would have been. Jesus talking about the messianic prophecies. You want to know who I am? Let's go through the entire book of the law, the entire book of the prophets. I'll tell you exactly who I am. He believed what his father told him, responded to what his parents told him, studied what the Word told him, and finally obeyed what the Spirit told him. He obeyed what his Spirit told him. Once you know who you are, you're just going to have to act on your spirit. You think that I'm confident or Phil's confident? Neither of us are confident. We haven't a clue what we're doing. Honestly, if you could see inside, you'd see I'm paddling furiously like a duck on a pond. I look great on the outside, but inside, I'm saying, "God, help me." But I'm responding to my spirit. I'm acting like a son. I know that God loves me. I know that he believes in me. I know that he's proud of me. I know that I am safe with him. So I step out in faith, believing. Now, God isn't like Joseph. He's not pacing up and down behind the scenes saying, "How can I pay for all of this?" But he is desperately concerned that every one of you become the people that you are called to become. His sons, fully inheriting, blessed sons. And then when you know it, he'll, as it were, slip into the background and he'll say, "I believe in you. Now go. Go and make a difference. Go into the community. Go into the situation. You're my sons. I love you. You're my son. I love you. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. Go and make a difference in South Africa. Turn this continent around for Jesus. Change your community. Change your family. Change the island if you live in Mauritius. Change it because you're sons in the name of Jesus." Amen. Very quickly. Cross the link. I'm going to hand back to Phil. Cross the link in here in Century City. Can I just ask this question? Do you know this Jesus? Have you met him? Like Matthew, are you prepared to drop everything and follow him? Because that's what it means to be a Christian. The Bible doesn't say being a Christian involves reading your Bible every day, going to church, being nice to people. It says being a Christian involves following Jesus, doing what he does. Are you prepared to do that? If you're in this auditorium, you don't know Jesus, but would like to. Or maybe you haven't followed him for a long time and you need to get back and follow him. This prayer's for you. Could everybody just close your eyes for a minute? I want you to be real and honest. If you don't know Jesus, but would like to, this prayer's for you. If you used to follow Jesus but have walked away, this prayer is for you. If you're not sure where you're at, this prayer is for you. I'm not asking whether you come to church. Of course you do. You're here. What I'm asking is, have you got a real, personal, current relationship with Jesus? If you haven't, one prayer, you're one prayer away from forgiveness. One prayer away from Jesus coming to live in your life, one prayer away from receiving his purpose. Are you ready? I'm going to count to three. When I get to three, I want you just to put your hand in the air as a sign that you want me to pray, either because you don't know Jesus or you
want to come back to him. So could you do that for me? I'm going to get to three. As soon as I get to three, put your hand in the air. One, two, three. I love the fact that people have put their hands up before I even got to three. Hands are going up all over here, up in the balcony, in every section, and I'm sure in all the various venues, Somerset West, Stellenbosch, Mitchell's Plain, Southern Suburbs, Pretoria, wherever you're linking. If you want Jesus to come into your life, if you want to get back to him, join these people and put your hands in the air. Fantastic. All right, we're going to pray this prayer. Everybody, across the link, everywhere, say this prayer with me. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, this morning, I realize you are the Son of God, and I need to follow you. Jesus, please do what I cannot do. Forgive me. Change me. Come into my life. From now on, you are my Lord, my King, my Savior. Everything changes from today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Give these people a huge round of applause.
Thanks for joining us. If you just made a decision to follow Jesus, we just want to say a big congratulations. This is the beginning of an amazing relationship. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and send it to a friend that you know will be blessed. You're always welcome to join us for Sunday services happening across South Africa. Find out where and when on hillsong.co.za. We can't wait to meet you.